This is Archive Atlanta, episode 255, Dick Lane Velodrome.
You're listening to Archive Atlanta, a history podcast where each week I'll be sharing a story about the people, places, and events that shape the history of the city of Atlanta. I'm your host, local tour guide, and total history nerd, Victoria Lamos.
Hey everyone, happy Friday. So this week we're talking about Georgia's only remaining velodrome, the Dick Lane Velodrome in East Point. Shout out to Jonathan, who requested this topic, not only because he's often racing on the track there, but because this year is the 50th anniversary of the velodrome. So today I'm going to talk about what a velodrome is, Atlanta's first and earliest velodromes, who Dick Lane was, and the decade-long efforts to open this velodrome. Before we get into Atlanta's history, let's back up and talk briefly about the history of velodromes. I covered this before in both episode 76 about bicycles and episode 46 about motorcycle racing. A velodrome is simply defined as an arena for track cycling. Modern velodromes feature steeply banked oval tracks with two 180-degree circular bends connected by two straights. The first velodrome appeared in the 1870s, and the oldest existing track is the Preston Park Velodrome that's in the United Kingdom. Early surfaces included shale, but later concrete, asphalt, and tarmac became more common. Indoor velodromes were popular in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, and Atlanta had several. Atlanta's early velodromes were all connected to Jack Prince, a British cycling champion who, by the 1890s, had transitioned to traveling the globe to promote the building of velodromes. So our city's first was in Piedmont Park, in a building left over from the 1895 Cotton States and International Exposition. The Coliseum, as it was called, was completed around 1897, but 2 days a week, the track was closed for ladies' use only. You also weren't allowed to wear a racing suit, and you couldn't ride fast. If you got up to 15 or 20 miles an hour, a track cop would actually throw up his billy club and stop you. So local racers are furious about these conditions. They complained incessantly about being barred from training 2 days a week. That was impossible, you know. How could they get better if they couldn't go 7 days a week? In 1903, Jack was back in Atlanta and discussing opening a new Coliseum, either on Pryor or Jackson Street. Articles from 1904 name a place called the Atlanta Stadium where bike races were held, but there's so little information about it, we don't really know where it was. Around 1909, the St. Nicholas Skating Rink at Ponce de Leon Park was converted into a velodrome by Prince. None of these lasted, though, and there was talk into about 1922 to build a new velodrome across from the Ponce de Leon Ballpark, the site which is today Ponce City Market. Those plans did not materialize, and the city was without a velodrome for five more decades. During the 20s and 30s, most cycling races were held at Lakewood and occasional larger events at the city auditorium. Atlanta's racing legend Bobby Walther died in 1949, and many lamented that cycling died with him. That all changes because of Richard Lane. Dick was born in Atlanta in 1927, and by the age of two, his family had moved to Main Street in East Point. He attended Russell High School and served in the Navy during World War II. In 1951, he graduated from the University of Georgia with a bachelor's degree in psychology, where he also played football until suffering a knee injury. He later got a law degree from John Marshall Law School. Now, he did not get into law, at least right away, because by 1951, Dick Lane was the recreation director of both Sumner Park and South Park in East Point. The city formed the East Point Parks Department in 1952, and Dick Lane's role goes underneath that agency. He took a very short detour in 1954 to work as the director of the South Fulton Boys Club, which was also in East Point. In 1959, he was named Superintendent of Parks and Recreation for East Point, replacing J. Roy Grayson, who had been fired after a pool integration incident. Lane's time as superintendent coincides and is impacted greatly by then-President John F. Kennedy's physical fitness campaign, so I'm going to take a brief rabbit hole into that history. After World War II, many Americans are worried that the country was getting out of shape. This is all tied into the rise of television, the decline in farm work, and the mechanization of factory work. In the mid-1950s, an international study found that American children were far less fit than other countries, and in response, then-President Eisenhower established the President's Council on Youth Fitness. Unfortunately, the program really didn't take off during Eisenhower's reign, but it did under Kennedy. The program's name was changed to the President's Council on Physical Fitness, and it developed the President's Physical Fitness Challenge, which was marketed across the nation from 1961 to 62. Dick Lane was heavily inspired and actually received a congratulatory letter from the Kennedy Youth Fitness Program in March of 1961. In May of that same year, he organized the Mayor's Bicycle Race, later renamed the Tri-Cities Bicycle Race. So the idea is that mayors and city councilmen from College Park, Capeville, and East Point would race a half-mile stretch down Main Street. They even formally invited President Kennedy. By the following year, the race was open to statewide competition, so they had, you know, mayors from different parts of the state. And in the third year, President Kennedy actually sent a representative to the race. So this buzz birthed the idea of building a cycle track. Lane actually got the city of East Point to allocate $6,000 and secure a site in Sumner Park. They graded the land, they installed some culverts, and then the fervor died and the project halted. By 1966, Dick Lane had turned his attention to public service, running for the Republican seat of State House District 126. One of his main platforms was, quote, opposition to any encroachment by means of annexation by the city of Atlanta on any property now incorporated in the Tri-Cities, end quote. He did serve until 1994, but he did, however, continue to serve as superintendent of the Parks and Recreation Department. After the 1972 Summer Olympics, a group of residents and city officials, including Lane, Bill Walker, and James Berryhill, renewed the push to finish the velodrome. So in the summer of 1973, Dick Lane convinces Jimmy Carter to give $10,000 from the governor's emergency fund to build the track. He also sets out to raise the remaining funds, and this came from many, many different places. So many organizations, but even like one of the biggest local contributors was the Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 7007, which was in East Point. Finally, with the money, East Point was going to build the first velodrome in Georgia and the first south of Chicago. The 1/5 mile concrete track was planned with 36 degree turns, and the first straightaway was poured in June of 1974. By October, it was almost done, and by December, the track was technically done, but there was like two more landscaping things to finish. The formal opening of the Dick Lane Velodrome came in March of 1975. It's the only velodrome in the world with a green space that contains a large tree and a creek through the infield. On March 23rd, 1975, the velodrome held its grand opening meet of champions. Sponsored by the Pepsi Bottlers of Atlanta, it was planned by a two-time Olympic cyclist with the support of the Southern Bicycle League, the Atlanta Velo Club, and the Classic City Wheelmen. By May of 1975, they had added stock bike racing, stock bikes basically being anything other than a racing or a track bike. By May of 1976, they began hosting pre-Olympic bicycle races, so the winners of those would qualify to go to Olympic trial events in other cities. That same year, they hosted the U.S. Junior Worlds. Unfortunately, by the mid-1980s, the track was in pretty bad condition. Not a lot of maintenance had been happening, and so there wasn't a lot of racing. And so the city of East Point allocates about $17,000 to make repairs, to also develop a racing program to attract young talent. By 1988, the track hosted the Sundance Grand Prix, and its Friday night amateur races were so popular. So the 1996 Summer Olympics being hosted in Atlanta brought yet another facelift to the velodrome, this time with about $50,000 allocated from the state of Georgia in hopes to become an Olympic training facility. From what I've read, though, these improvements came like a little too late. So most Olympic cyclists had already planned where they were going to practice years before the Olympics. So most kind of people competing were going to be practicing in other states and then coming to Atlanta to compete in the actual Olympic Games. They did, however, host a ton of races leading up to the Olympics and during the Olympics. There was a velodrome built in Stone Mountain for the actual Olympic races, but it was eventually disassembled and sold to a velodrome in Canada. Around 2001, there were whispers that the Dick Lane Velodrome was near closing. In 2002, the East Point Velodrome Association formed to raise the funds to save the track. And by September of 2003, the city of East Point announced plans to shut it down. They said that the wall that was supporting turns 3 and 4 had been sinking into the ground. They had priced repairs, I think, at $100,000. And so they officially just shut it down. Now, the East Point Velodrome Association attempts right before, I think the last race before they shut it down, they hand out 10,000 free tickets to this Grand Prix finale, hoping that just a packed crowd would show support for the velodrome and for bicycle racing while they could work on raising the money. By the following year, the city actually leased the velodrome to the nonprofit for a period of 20 years. The association raised $230,000 for repairs, and they reopened the track in 2005. The Dick Lane Velodrome is still operated by the East Point Velodrome Association today. They open April 1st for the season, so you have a couple weeks. It is a packed calendar. There is something to see every day, but I'm going to put a link in the show notes for you guys to go to their website. So there you have it, the story of East Point's Dick Lane Velodrome. Thank you everyone for listening. Remember to leave a rating and or a review or listen to the podcast. You can also visit the Patreon link in the show notes if you want to support my work. Hope everyone has a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.